Thank you to all of you who have served to make this day possible. I am so thankful to be together, to see your faces, even just as we were singing just now. I have goosebumps just looking around at faces, singing, praising the Lord together. I am so thankful to see you and not see a camera or a screen. Amen. I was zoomed out on Zoom. And it was honestly painful to preach in an empty room and unnatural, but I am so, so joyful to see you. I'm thankful for live stream and technology and all that our brothers and sisters have done to make that possible, but we need real live people in our life, and I'm so thankful that we can do that more. And I look forward to seeing more of our people in the weeks ahead. And there's more that we hope for in the future. What we can do today isn't all that we long for, but it's been a long time since we've been able to do this. And so let's praise the Lord for a first step, and let's keep in step with the Spirit. And let's also remember, we're doing two services here. That's what we did for many years. And we've also had some outside services here on for our Easter sunrise that were a lot colder than today. I'm thankful for the beautiful sunshine here today, but I just want to praise the Lord even as we begin here. We have it better than many churches in our nation, certainly in our world, and throughout history. And let's remember, for much of biblical history, God's people met outdoors in less comfortable settings with no PA system, and much of our world can't even meet out in the open like we are doing here today. I don't know if you remember a missionary who spoke here years ago, but he talked about an underground church he knew. As some of you know, China bans live streaming even to this day, but they banned their church from meeting in their building, and they had to meet outside, and their church actually grew in the Sundays that followed. Because we're reminded that the church is not based on or dependent on a building. The church is the body of Christ, and Christ is building his church. We've taken a lot for granted before it was taken away from us. But let's just take a moment to say, Jesus, thank you. Let's say that out loud. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And I want to just take this moment to say that I love you. I love you as a church. I love you as my friends. I love you as my family. I have missed this. And I think I can understand more what Paul meant. I was reading 1 Thessalonians again, and I think we can, a lot of us can affirm this. Being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you. You had become very dear to us. We pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking. Direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another. Encourage, this is later in the book, encourage the faint hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with them all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for us. And that text also talks about give thanks, give appreciation to those who labor among you. And there's a whole bunch here even today. Paul said in Romans 1, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. And he said to the church, I long to see you, to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. He wanted to strengthen them, but he also needed that mutual encouragement by their faith. It's good for us to write to one another and continue to do things like that, to be on a computer or on a phone with each other, but there's something strengthening about seeing each other that we've longed for. There's a mutual encouragement by each other's faith, and I've seen that already happening here today. If you've felt discouraged in this time, even towards church or its people, or if you've felt uniquely weak in faith in this time, or maybe you find yourself more discouraged and bothered by the weaknesses that you see in others, this is also a time for a lot of grace. Because a lot of those dynamics come with not being face-to-face biblically and the things that are associated with that. So let's give a lot of thanks. And let's strengthen and encourage each other's faith even here today. And so with that in mind, turn, if you would, to Colossians chapter 1. And as we renew our corporate worship, I want to review this theme in my favorite book. This is my favorite place to be, giving thanks and how our praise together ministers to one another in ways that we need and that are essential. I would just remind you, Colossians 2 tells us he's writing to people who, when he's writing, he wasn't able to see them face to face. He was isolated under house arrest. He wasn't just sheltered, he was actually chained in place for more than 3 months. He talks about his chains in this book. But look at chapter 1, verse 3 again, just to remind you how he begins. We always thank God the Father. Can you say that with prisoner Paul? We always thank God the Father. And he picks up on that, what we give thanks to him for in verse 12, kind of where we left off last time, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is, this is Christ, verse 15, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things. And in him all things hold together, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. Or to say it another way, in everything he would have the supremacy. This is a celebration of the supremacy of the glory of Christ over all things for the joy of all peoples. He is the creator. He is the sustainer of all things. He is the savior of all peoples who trust in him. And so the theme of this section and the theme of this day, the theme of our life is Christ's preeminence and our thankfulness. Christ's preeminence and our thankfulness. And even as we sit out here in creation, in nature, everything is through him. Everything is for him. It's all to his glory. Even as you see the trees and the nature, the creation, the sun, the clouds, the skies, the heavens around us are declaring the glory of God. The sky is declaring his handiwork. And so thank him, even as you see these things, even now, thank him for these things. And as we regather as a church, there are things that aren't your preference. But in everything, Christ is to have the preeminence. The church isn't about you or your preference or me or how we feel we would like it to be or feel or what we would like to get out of it. It's about Christ. It's about his preeminence. He is the head of the body, not you, not any man. So whatever your image of how things should be at this time, we need to keep our focus on the one who is the image of God and the one who has the first place. Give Christ preeminence and give up your preference. Give Christ preeminence. Even in our nation, as we prayed about earlier, that's protesting sinful authority, sinfully rebelling against rulers is on the rise. We need to remember we have a ruler who is just and who is perfect, who is on his throne. His name is King Jesus. He is supreme over all. He is sovereign over all. He is working all things together for his glory and for the good of his people. And his dominion is over all. He's got all authority in heaven and on earth. He rules over what's invisible, whether viruses or visible violence that you see on the news. He holds all things together. He can heal the hurting communities that have been hurting by the events that have unfolded in Minneapolis and across our nation. He can heal our hearts. He can bring together and save racists. He can bring together rioters and radicals who are causing anarchy. He can save from all of those, and he can bring them together out of the darkness into the light and forgiveness and into the church to worship together. And he had done that with groups like that in this Colossian church. In chapter 3, he's going to talk about barbarians and Scythians and slaves and frees and Greek and Gentiles. And there's going to be more about reconciliation we'll see in this book in the future. And even in verses 20 to 22, how Jesus can take those who are hostile or hateful and save them to be thankful. But here in this text, and it'll take a while to unpack this in future messages, but verse 18 isn't the world. It's focusing on his body. It's the church and this theme of thankfulness. I want to just trace that out in our time here today into Colossians 3, where it takes this theme and applies it to the one another aspect as the church is gathered. And so there's a lot more we can see in another message on Christ's creation that deserves its own message in the future. But what should the supremacy and the sufficiency of Christ's word, what should that create in us as we gather here as a church? Colossians 3:16 is where I want to camp today. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So this really fills out how the book has been beginning. We always thank God. Colossians 3 applies that with how we are to thank God as we come together with one another. It shows us how to put this into practice, not only with one another, but there's a sense in which to one another, we're ministering to one another as we are singing. There's a one another aspect of our corporate praise. And I loved even just looking at one another as I was singing. And it's essential that we be thankful as we gather. I know that word essential is kind of a buzzword, but the government cannot make the church essential or non-essential. Biblically speaking, church body life is essential on some level, and how we do that safely and all those different things. But the one another's are essential. And this is one of them. Colossians 3:16 is one of those one another's which we're called to do in whatever situation we are. Paul, even in prison, is still practicing the one another's as he's able. But he talks about teaching, like I'm doing now, your personal exhortations to each other, and that'll continue as we conclude our time here and you minister and speak to one another. But also singing together thanks to God is a part of that. So I didn't want to just move on to the next subject in Colossians. I wanted to just move more deeply and more richly into what Christ's word says on thankfulness. And to be honest, this is something I've needed to be stirred in my own heart, and the ups and downs and the things that have been going on. And I'm sure I'm not unique and alone in that. How do you, when you need your heart to be stirred to that essential, thankful heart of chapter 1, what we see in this verse is part of the answer is that we need to make sure we're still ministering to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's connected to a thankful heart. And I was even thinking about some of those things as we gather. I would consider it a spiritual song, what we sang as elders, if you saw the Q&A video. As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we, what? Glorify your name. That's our prayer as we gather, where it needs to be. Maybe you know think of spiritual songs and hymns. There's a hymn that says, we gather together to ask, what? The Lord's blessing. He chastens and hastens his will to make known. The wicked oppressing now cease from distressing. Sing praises to his name. He forgets not his own. There's something about when we gather as believers that those things can happen. He makes his will known to us in a unique way than when we're just alone. And even the oppression or things that are distressing to us, he can make to cease as we sing praises to his name and to know that he does not forget his own. Colossians 3:16 also mentions psalms, and there's so much material in the psalms that leads up to a thankful heart, or singing, teaching, and reading psalms. That's really what I just want to do, is this verse says, to try to help us fill that out, what that means, to remember and just be reminded, why do we gather? Why do we do what we do? Why is it important? Why is it essential that we are here and that we are gathering? And what is essential as we are gathering? The Psalms, we're going to actually sing today, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. That comes from Psalm 46, or I mentioned it last week. It says, the Lord of hosts is with us, our fortress. And Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul. And it talks about his love, that he's slow to anger, and it gives all these reasons for our heart to find, to thank and bless the Lord, O my soul. We sang how good it is when the family of God dwells together in unity. That's Psalm 133. How good it is on this journey we share. The weak find strength, the afflicted find grace as we offer the blessing of belonging. And it says we prefer one another. Even as we sing that, we need to be thinking about that. How can we prefer others here today? How can we prefer others who are in different places than us and how we're understanding things? How do we forgive as he forgives, even as we prepare for communion in just a few minutes here? Are we practicing that? Are we forgiving the way Christ has forgiven us fully, freely? And whatever preferences we have, again, are we preferring others above ourselves? Thinking of others, not just the way we would like things to be. We're sharing in this journey. This is a journey through uncharted territory. Let's keep walking patiently and graciously and thankfully together. I remember one Sunday when I was in Ecuador in the jungle, and we had Sunday came and we had a church service, and we all had to just find some log or somewhere on the dirt to kind of sit, and we sat around. It was much more uncomfortable than this. I couldn't understand their chanting. I wouldn't even call it singing. It was some sort of a chanting that they were doing, and I'll tell you, it didn't feel like church, because I had my own mindset of what church should feel like. But I was also reminded in that time that those people that I was with, that we together are the church gathered in that place. Of course, there's a church all around the world, but the church that gathers there, it's a special thing. And even if you can't even understand anything they're saying, there's a blessing. Even I've been in different countries where I didn't understand a word of the service. There was a blessing of just being with God's people. It's, again, it's Christ's body, not a building. But when this verse talks about speaking to one another, ministering or teaching with, including psalms and all these things, let me just give you some psalms as we kind of prepare our hearts for what we're doing here and as we think about our celebration of communion. Psalm 147 says, the Lord builds up. He gathers the exiles. Sing to the Lord with grateful praise. Maybe you felt like an exile from worship for a while. There's a number of psalms where they express things like that. Sing gratefully, as we're going to sing at the end of our time here. Sing gratefully to the great Lord who is greatly to be praised, the one who gathers his people back. The end of Psalm 106 says, praise, actually, gather us that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Has that been your prayer about gather us so that we could give thanks to your holy name? Has that been your focus about wanting to be together so that we could give thanks together? It says this, let all the people say amen. Well, let me say that again. Let all the people say amen. Praise the Lord, Psalm 106 says. And so why is it essential we gather to do that in person? Well, we're commanded to. And the Psalms call us to, as well as the New Testament. Psalm 34, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name, what? Together. On our own, we tend to make much of self and selfish desires. And even being more on our own, we got to recognize that tendency towards more and more of self. We maximize comfort, We can minimize our sin when we're not in close communion and fellowship, but we need to make much of God with each other. We need to exalt Him together. Why do we do what we do in corporate worship? Why is it important for us to be here if we can and when we can? Psalm 68, 26 says this, "Bless God in the great congregation." Now you can bless God in your home, but you're also commanded to bless Him in the congregation if you can, however great or small the numbers. Praise God who is great. The Psalms command us many times, praise the Lord as a plural verb in the grammar. In other words, it's a call to God's people to praise together. When you see that phrase, hallelujah, or praise the Lord, it's calling for a plurality of voices joining together in unity of praise. Why and how do we need to come to worship? Other Psalms tell us things like this. Psalm 96, give to the Lord, O families, give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him. There's something as we want to fear the Lord and reverence Him, there's something that is important about our corporate worship to bring that about. I think the casualness and comfort of our own homes is different than the courts of God's house, where we with reverence come before His holiness together with the accountability of people. Psalm 95, let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker, for He is our God. And we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. And then it says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. That's a part of our coming, to hear God's voice in God's word and to not let our hearts harden. And our hearts do if we don't pursue that. If you're able-bodied and well, I'm not talking about those with compromised health, but all these scriptures are calling us as we're able, inviting us, like what we read earlier, Psalm 100, come into His presence with singing. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Sheep need to feed together and be together. Psalm 107 calls out to believers, let them thank the Lord. Let them extol Him in the congregation of His people and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. These are all calls and commands that we can't just do on a screen, although when we have to providentially, we can be thankful for that. But we need to sing together. I remember the first time I sang together again with people, and it had been a while that I sang with people besides my family. There were just three other people we were singing with, but had goosebumps all over and just was overwhelmed with realizing how much I had missed singing with just three other people. Now we can do that with a whole bunch more. But God's word calls us to thank Him in the congregation and in the assembly. Yesterday, as the guys were setting up here and working on the gates, they set up the gates here to open up this morning, and I was thinking of some of the Psalms that actually talk about opening up the gates. And as you may know, some of the Jews would go away from their house of worship for a long time, weeks, sometimes months, and they'd come back to be all together in worship. They were in smaller gatherings in their own communities, but they would come for the festivals to Jerusalem. And here's one of the things they would sing as they came back. Psalm 118, open up to me the gates of righteousness that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. God's word calls us again and again to this. Not just for me to do this as an individual, but us. Let us rejoice. That's corporate worship. Psalm 148, young men and maidens together, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. I'm so glad to see that before my eyes. And Psalm 149, lastly, sing to the Lord his praise in the assembly of the godly. And that's not just for Jews, that's not just from the Old Testament. We're commanded to teach with Psalms, but also Romans 15 commands, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. What's the motive or the purpose for that? Romans 15 says that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another. I want you guys to think about this as we come to communion and as we come to a time where we're going to be able to greet and speak with, talk with one another. Welcome one another as Christ welcomed you for the glory of God. Let's keep the gospel central as we close and as we go into a fellowship time with others. Don't talk about the government with Christians in this precious time to renew fellowship. Talk about the gospel. Talk about what God has been doing in your life. As we stay after to talk, don't make it about conspiracies or complaints. Please, make it about Christ. Or make it about care for each other. We're all on a spectrum of views about the pandemic, about the protests, about politics. Can we focus on the preeminence of Christ on his day today? I would be refreshed if we focused more and more on him. And it's with one voice, Romans 15 says, that we sing to the Lord as we accept one another despite our differences, like Christ welcomed us despite how vastly more different we are than Christ. Together, we glorify God. So I want to close in 1 Corinthians 11 with another command. I've read a whole bunch of commands, but something that's essential that we haven't done together in a while also is communion. And this is a celebration. As often as we eat the bread or drink the cup of the Lord, the language is there's a proclamation of the gospel that takes place until he comes. Until he comes to gather all of his worshipers. A much bigger multitude than this, a vast multitude of every tribe and tongue and color and culture and country and ethnic group. They're going to all be together worshiping him in unity, and he's going to actually lead us in his great supper. But until then, communion proclaims his death, his body, his blood. We also think of his life. And it proclaims that he is coming again. He's risen and he's coming again. And so this is a celebration of life service, if you will. Christ's risen life. And we celebrate the common union and life we share in Christ. And so I want to just remind ourselves of the remembrance before we pray and partake together. And I think most of you should already have the elements. If for some reason you don't, if you just want to slip up your hand, we have some men who can get those to you. But Paul says, I receive from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread or drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We're proclaiming, even to the world, even as we gather, and even through our unity, through our love for one another, in particular, in this time as we come together, we're proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. And he's talking here in the context before this about the importance of unity. In verse 18, talking about divisions and how that's so inconsistent with what the cup and the bread is all about. And so even as it's been a while since we've gathered here today, I want to take a little bit of time to give us time to meditate, to examine. We need to examine ourselves where there's sin that we haven't yet confessed to the Lord. Maybe sin in our attitude, actions that we need to let the Lord know about. It may also be that you're aware, even as you see someone out of the corner of your eye, there's a conversation you need to have, to follow up with and care for someone. I would urge you to do that today while we're gathered here today. Or someone who's not here, you need to talk to, follow up, pursue unity and peace and love with. Let's resolve to do that. As we're beginning to regather more as a church, we want to regather rightly and discern the body and be thinking of the unity of the body rightly. And so I want to just take a little bit of time before I pray to give you some time to commune with the Lord, speak to Him about whatever you need to speak to Him about, confess sins if needed, but also I want to really encourage you as you do that to also be thanking Him for the gospel that brings us together, thanking Him for the forgiveness that He has given you, even as you may need to forgive others or seek their forgiveness. So I'm going to just give you some moments to pray, and then I'll pray, and the men are going to come up again.